Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. I pray you had a wonderful night's rest. And as we say on Morning Glory, no fires broke out, no thieves broke in, that you had peaceful rest. All I can say is I rested very well. Don't know when I went to sleep. Just know that I woke up when I needed to. And all I can do is say, thank you, Lord. I'm feeling better, I'm sounding better, and I'm thankful, grateful, and blessed to be with you again this morning, filled with the Spirit of God. And as we pray, Father God in heaven, we thank you for this day. We thank you that you gave us a do-over, a day to be better than we were yesterday, a day to listen, to hear, and to know your voice, God, to know that there is no other God but you. And that one day you will be coming together, that we are just here temporarily, God. Father God, I ask you to please watch over and bless Sister Carolyn, Mother Rita, Mother Janet, Mother Valerie, and their families, God. That they have lost a beloved in their families. Mother Bowie, who has joined us on many occasions, has lost her son. And we pray for Daryl's family, Lord God, as we know his soul is with you. For your word tells us absence from the body is in the presence of the Lord. So, Father God, we lift up the Bowie, Bell, Nesbitt, and others and their family. We all know Sister Carolyn's daughter lost her grandmother and her sister. And they had their funeral on last week. And we prayed for traveling grace and we prayed for mercy. And today, Lord, we pray that this family is given strength. For they have lost a loved one. Father God, I'm believing in you that this is the end for a while. For a little while, Lord. Let this be the end as you give them time to grieve. Father God, I am thanking you for giving my children strength, my sister-in-law strength, as we go through this week and next. One week, God, where we think about our loved ones. My husband, who was lost 12 years ago on this Sunday. My father-in-law, who was lost a week from Sunday on the 30th of August, actually a week from Monday. On the 31st of August, I was sitting in church. As I found out I had lost the only dad I still had left besides you, God. But, Lord, I ask you for strength. But you are my strength. Strength like no other, God, is you. So, Father God, as I lift up this word this morning, asking you to increase as I decrease, I pray for all bereaved families, God, those that have lost loved ones through natural causes, through violence, through neglect, through suicide. And some, Lord God, because they were just ready to go. So, Father God, I lift up families today, asking you to watch over them, to give them strength as they go through their season. And, Lord God, let folks know you have no right to tell anybody how they should grieve. Everyone grieves differently. We understand, Lord, that there is unholy grief, and we bind that in Jesus' name. But remembrance of a loved one is not unholy. It's just a thank you that they are in your presence, God. And so I thank you for all of my loved ones that have gone before me, because I know that they are absent from this earthly body, and they are in your presence, and one day they will be the first to go up in the clouds in their white robes and their new bodies. So I thank you, God. I praise you, God. I lift up the name of Jesus today, God, knowing that all things are working for our good, God. And Lord God, as I lift this word up again, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my humble heart, Lord God, be acceptable in your sight. For you are my strength and you are my redeemer. You are my dad and I am your daughter and servant. In the name of the master Savior, the love of my life, Christ Jesus, I pray. Amen. Hallelujah. 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 For we know the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit are one. Hallelujah. Giving honor to God today. I am so excited. We are in a new Testament word this morning, which we will go over when we get there, which is 2 Thessalonians, which is also where our title is coming from this morning. But we will be in Jeremiah chapter 23 and 24 on this 19th day of October. Can I just say it is flying by this year? We're not that far from Thanksgiving, family. We will be in 119th Psalm and the letter Gemel, which is verses 17 through 24. We will be in Proverbs chapter 27, verses 15 through 16, as well as 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, which is where our title comes from. So let's get in our word, family. Get your Bible. This is Bible study. And we're going to go over this word, and I'd like to say that the study is coming out of the Charles F. Stanley Life Principles Daily Bible, Biblical Principles for Each Day of the Year, New King James Version. So let's get started. I'm excited. Are you? I know I am. I love the Word of God. I get giddy for it. I'm actually on tomorrow getting ready to start a new Bible study, trying to figure out how to juggle everything because I also have church on Thursday night. So trying to work it out, but God will work it out for me. And this is what the Word of God says in chapter 23. Woe to the shepherds who destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture. Uh-oh, says the Lord. Therefore, thus says the Lord God of Israel, since the shepherds who feed my people, you have scattered my flock, driven them away, and not attended to them. Behold, I will attend to you for the evil of your doing, says the Lord. But I will gather the remnant of my flock out of all countries where I have driven them, and bring them back to their fold, and they shall be fruitful and increase. I will set my shepherds over them who will feed them, and they shall fear no more, nor be dismayed, nor shall they be lacking, says the Lord. Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, that I will raise to David a branch of righteousness. A king shall reign and prosper, and execute judgment and righteousness in the earth. In his days, Judah will be saved, and Israel will dwell safely. Now this is his name, by which he will be called, the Lord our righteousness. I want to read that again. In his days, Judah will be saved, and Israel will dwell safely. Now this is his name, by which he will be called, the Lord our righteousness. For behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, that they shall no longer say, as the Lord lives, who brought up the children of Israel from the land of Egypt, but as the Lord lives, who brought up and led the descendants of the house of Israel from the north country and from all the countries where I have driven them, and they shall dwell in their own land. My heart within me is broken because of the prophets. All my bones shake. I am like a drunkard man and like a man whom wine has overcome. Because of the Lord and because of his holy words. For the land is full of adultery. For because of a curse the land mourns. The pleasant places of the wilderness are dried up. The course of life is evil, and their might is not right. So, for both prophet and priest are profane. Yes, in my house I have found their wickedness, says the Lord. Therefore their way shall be to them like slippery ways. In the darkness they shall be driven on and fall in them. But I will bring disaster on them, the year of their punishment, says the Lord. And I have seen folly in the prophets of Samaria. They prophesied by Baal, and they caused my people Israel to err. Also, I have seen a horrible thing in the prophets of Jerusalem. They commit adultery and walk in lies. Come on now. They also strengthen the hands of evildoers so that no one turns back from the wickedness. All of them are like Sodom to me, and her inhabitants like Gomorrah. Therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts concerning the prophets. Behold, I will feed them with wormwood. Again, behold, I will feed them with wormwood and make them drink the water of gall. For from the prophets of Jerusalem, profaneness has gone out into all the land. Thus says the Lord of hosts, do not listen to the word of the prophets who prophesy to you. They make you worthless. They speak vision of their own heart, not from the mouth of the Lord. They continually say to those who despise me, the Lord has said, you shall have peace. To everyone who walks according to the dictates of his own heart, they say, no evil shall come upon you. Just lie. For who has stood in the counsel of the Lord and has perceived and heard his word? Who has marked his word and heard it, Behold, a whirlwind of the Lord has gone forth in fury, a violent whirlwind. It will fall violently on the head of the wicked. The anger of the Lord will not turn back until he has executed and performed the thoughts of his heart. In the latter days, you will understand it perfectly. I have not set these prophets, yet they ran. I have not spoken to them, yet they prophesied. But if they had stood in my counsel and had caused my people to hear my words, then they would have turned them from their evil ways and from the evil of their doings. Am I a God near at hand, says the Lord? Say it again. Am I a God near at hand, says the Lord? One more time. Am I a God near at hand, says the Lord, and not a God afar off? Can anyone hide himself in secret places so I shall not see him, says the Lord? Do I not have heaven and earth, says the Lord? I have heard what the prophets have said who prophesy lies in my name, saying, I have dreamed, I have dreamed. I have. How long will this be in the heart of the prophets who prophesy lies? Indeed, they are prophets of the deceit of their own heart, who try to make my people forget my name by their dreams, which everyone tells his neighbor as their father forgot my name for Baal. Come on now. Idolatry. The word tells us all the time, thou shalt have no other God before me. Prophet has a dream, let him tell a dream. And he who has my word, let him speak his word faithfully. What is the chaff and the wheat, says the Lord? Is not my word like a fire, says the Lord, and like a hammer that breaks the rock in places? Therefore, behold, I am against the prophet, says the Lord, who steal my words, every one from his neighbor. Behold, I am against the prophet, says the Lord, who use their tongues and say, he says, behold, I am against those who prophesy false things, says the Lord, and tell them and cause my people to err by their lies and by their recklessness. Yet I did not send them on command or command them, therefore they shall not profit this people at all, says the Lord. So when these people or the prophet or the priest ask you, saying, what is the oracle of the Lord? You shall then say to them, what oracle? I will even forsake you, says the Lord. And as for the prophet and the priest and the people who say the oracle of the Lord, I will even punish that man and his house. Therefore, every one of you shall say to his neighbor and every one of his brothers, to his brother, what has the Lord answered and what has the Lord spoken? And the oracle of the Lord you shall mention no more, for every man's word will be his oracle. For you have perverted the words of the living God, the Lord of hosts, our God. Thus you shall say to the prophet, what has the Lord answered you? And what has the Lord spoken? But since you say the oracle of the Lord, therefore, thus says the Lord. Because you say this word, the oracle of the Lord, and I have sent to you, saying, do not say the oracle of the Lord. Therefore, behold, I will utterly forget you and forsake you, and the city that I gave you and your fathers, and will cast you out of my presence. And I will bring an everlasting reproach upon you and a perpetual shame which shall not be forgotten. Oh, what a word today. The Lord showed me, and there were two baskets of figs set before the temple of the Lord captive Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon. Hey, carried away captive. Jeconiah, the son of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, and the priest of Judah, with the craftsmen and smiths from Jerusalem, and had brought them to Babylon. One basket had every good fig, like the figs that are first ripe, and the other basket had very bad figs, which could not be eaten. They were so bad. Then the Lord said to me, "What do you see, Jeremiah?" And I said, "Figs, the good figs, very good, and the bad, very bad, which cannot be eaten. They are so bad." Again, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, "Thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, like these good figs, so will I acknowledge those who are carried away captive from Judah, whom I have sent out of this place for their own good, into the land of the Chaldeans. For I will set my eyes on them for good, and I will bring them back in this land. I will build them and not pull them down, and I will plant them and not pluck them up. Then I will give them a heart to know me, that I am the Lord, and they shall be my people. And I will be their God, for they shall return to me with a whole heart." They will turn to me with the whole heart. "And as the bad figs which cannot be eaten, they are so bad, surely thus says the Lord, and so will I give up Zedekiah, the king of Judah, and his princes, the residue of Jerusalem who remain in this land, and those who dwell in the land of Egypt. I will deliver them to trouble into all the kingdoms of the earth, for their haunt to be a reproach and a byword, a taunt and a curse, in all places where I will drive them. And I will send the sword, the famine and the pestilence among them, till they are consumed from the earth that I gave them and their father." Whew. Don't play with God. Life lessons from Jeremiah, chapter 23 and 24. Chapter 23, life lessons. And again, life lessons come from Dr. Stanley. Life lessons, life questions, life examples. What does the Bible say? That is part of this Bible study. And again, I will tell everybody, again, I'm not paid by Dr. Stanley or his ministry. Buy this Bible. It is so worth everything that you do. Even when you're not listening to Moving Forward, you can go and look in this Bible. Get the Bible, life lessons. Go into your Bible, study it, and mark down things. You will find you are learning so much. Dr. Stanley has done a fantastic job in this Bible, and I will tell you, it has been one of the best study Bibles we've used or Moving Forward, and we've used a lot. You know, we've been in Amplified, we've been in Chronological, we've been in just different Greek and Hebrew. We've been in different Bibles, and I tell you, this is one of the best. So definitely, if you get opportunity, please buy this Bible. And again, not paid by ChristianBooks.com, but you can order it from ChristianBooks.com as you go forth. You know, we got to get into ordering our Christian materials from Christians. You know, I am also a great believer in, I like to wear T-shirts, but, you know, God has put in my heart to start getting my T-shirts from Love and Faith. And I tell you, it is a great company. I get a new T-shirt every month and a Bible study every month. And it's been wonderful. So just throwing those out there. Again, they're not sponsors. They're just people that I happen to enjoy. So thank you so much from my radio announcement. Now let's get back into our word. And again, our life lesson, Jeremiah 23:3. I will gather the remnant of my flock out of all countries where I have driven them and bring them back. God desires to bless his people and to make them fruitful and numerous, just as he promised to one day gather Israel and bless them, Romans 11. So he longs to bless you. When you obey him, God wants a whole heart. He wants an intimate relationship with us that affects every part of our lives, our work, our families, our friendship, our money, everything. He wants us, not what we have. Can you catch that? God wants us, not what we have. All the stuff in the world cannot go with you. When you leave this earth, you leave with just your soul. That's what God wants, our soul. And he wants our whole heart. Not half-hearted worship, but true worship. God loves us. Don't play with God. Jeremiah 23:6. He will be called the Lord our righteousness. When we come to Jesus Christ in faith, he becomes our righteousness. We stand before God not on the basis of our efforts, our record, but because of what he has done for us on the cross. Hallelujah. What he has done for us on the cross. Praise the Lord, family. Jeremiah 23:24. Can anyone hide himself in secret places so I shall not see him? You know, I always think about my husband was a state trooper, and there was a group of kids that back in the 90s who thought they were vampires, and they stick their hands over their chest, and then you hear them say, I'm invisible. No, you're not. I can see you. You're not invisible. But they would think, if I just cover my hands across my head, in the Wakanda Forever style, before Wakanda Forever, I'm invisible. No, you're not. And you're not a vampire. Get over yourself, God. You know, all in black, you know, and dye their hair. Some would dye their hair solid white and put white stuff all over their face and then blacken their eyes to make them look like the Walking Dead. And it's like, Lord, give us strength. And he just looked at these kids, and I'm invisible. No, you're not. You can't hide from God. You can't put your hand over your chest and say, I'm invisible. God can't see me. Yes, you can. Again, Jeremiah 23:24. Can anyone hide himself in secret places so I shall not see him? God is never so busy with a new star in Orion or an erupting volcano on Venus that he has no time for you. He fills the universe so he can listen to your prayers even as he cares for everything else. We don't have to hide from God. He's always there to hear our problems. It doesn't matter where he is in the universe. He hears you. He sees you. He loves you. If you get nothing out of Jeremiah 23:24, just know God sees you. And he hears you. He knows you in your good. He knows you in your bad. He knows you in your downright. He sees and hears you. You are to God. 119 Psalms, verses 17-24. The meal dealt bountifully with the servant that I may live and keep your word. Open my eyes that I may see wondrous things from your law. I am a stranger in the earth. Do not hide your commandments from me. My soul breaks with longing for your judgment at all times. You rebuke the proud, the cursed, who stray from your commandments. Remove from me reproach and contempt, for I have kept your testimony. Prisoners have set and speak against me, but your servant meditates on your statutes. Your testimonies also are my delight and my counsel. Proverbs 27:15-16. A continual dripping on a very rainy day and a contentious woman are alike. Whoever restrains her restrains the wind and grass or with his right hand. And if you stop and you think about it, drip, 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 drip. That would get on your nerves, your last nerve, your all nerves. It would get on your nerves. And if you hear, and I said this, and all day long, and I don't know why you want to do it like that, and I don't know why we got to go here, and I don't know why you haven't taken me on a vacation. Who said I don't need to go to that church? Because all them people, they think they know everything. And you hear all day long. And you wonder why there's some husband that leaves that say, I can't deal with this foolishness any longer. Constant. Always fussing and fighting over nothing. The husband says, good morning, you look beautiful. Why you gonna tell me I look beautiful? I know I'm looking a hot mess this morning. Shoot, I haven't even got, you know I need to get my weed done, and here you gonna come out, I look beautiful. I don't know what you're talking about. What, you just trying to, I know what you after. Now, I ain't got time for all of that. When you read Proverbs, you can visualize everything that is there. A continual dripping on a very rainy day. Just constant. Coming down. Drip. And a continuous fussy woman. Fussy woman. And this is whoever restrains or restrains woman. I just can't do it. And grasp all where I am. Can't do it. We got to do self-evaluation. All of us. None of us are perfect. We are all fallible, but we are all loved by God. Even in our mess, He loves us. That's why we're so blessed. That's why we're so highly favored. That's why the enemy gets downright mad. Because it don't seem fair to him that we get to be who we are. What a mighty God we serve. Our title lesson for today is coming out of 2 Thessalonians. Yay, can I say new book. And God gave me, praying our God would count you worthy of this calling. Wow, a word for all of us. Are you worthy of your calling? Whatever your calling may be. We're all called for different work and different things. We're all called differently. But we stand in agreement that God is good. 2 Thessalonians. The Apostle Paul, along with Sylvanus Titus and Timothy. The early 50 AD is when this was probably written. Paul's second oldest letter. In 10 words or less to describe this book, Christians shall work until Jesus returns. Woo, hallelujah. I'm going to work until the Lord comes. Details, please. Shortly after writing 1 Thessalonians, Paul did take a follow-up, apparently a letter falsely claiming to be from Paul, had left the Thessalonians shaken in mind and troubled. Jesus already returned, Paul assures them that the event is certain, is still future, and urges everyone to live positive and productive lives until the second coming. If any would not work, Paul commanded those who had dropped out in anticipation of Jesus' return, need to stay eat. You know that 2 Thessalonians 3:10, man who does not work, don't eat. Come on now, paraphrase. Quotable, you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall reveal from the heavens with his mighty angel. Brethren, do not weary in well-doing. Do not go weary in well-doing. Because in due season, y'all, unique and unusual, the fact that Paul dictates this letter is clear from his comments. The salutation of Paul with my own hand, so I write. In other words, this is no fake letter. This is from me. This is from Paul. And I'm telling you, that other lie was not the truth. So what? As with all of the Christian life, balance is key. We should always look forward to Jesus' return, but we should also be busy doing good while we're here on earth. Hallelujah. Are you doing good today? And let's get into our word in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. It says, Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy, to the church of the Thessalonians in God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We are bound to thank God always for you, brothers, as it is fitting, because your faith grows exceedingly and the love of every one of you all abounds toward each other, so that we ourselves boast of you among the churches of God for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that you endure, which is manifest evidence of the righteous judgment of God, that you may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God for which you also suffer, since it is the righteous thing with God to repay with tribulation those who trouble you and to give you who are troubled rest with us when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who do not know God and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. There shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power, when he comes in that day to be glorified in his saints and to, whew, Lord Jesus, thank you, to be admired among all those who believe, because of our testimony among you was believed. Therefore, we also pray always for you that our God would count you worthy of this calling and fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness and the work of faith with power, that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you and you in him, according to the grace of our Lord, of our God, and the Lord Jesus Christ. Ooh, what a word. I got to read that again, because this is where our title comes from this morning. Therefore, we also pray always, not sometimes, but always, for you that our God would count you worthy of this calling and fulfill all the good, not some of the good, but all of the good pleasure of his goodness and the work of faith with power, that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you and you in him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, what a word this morning. Thank you, God. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 3. We are bound to thank God always for you. One good way to tell if you are growing in your faith is to notice how you react towards your brothers and sisters in the faith. Does your love abound toward them? Do you feel a greater urgency to pray for them? Oh, yes. God will put you where you need to be, where you need to be there. And all I can say is thank you. The Lord knows what I'm talking about. And I thank him for the opportunity to be where I was supposed to be, to do what I was supposed to do. Praise the Lord. 2 Thessalonians 1:9, these shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord. The worst thing about hell is not any physical suffering that may be involved, but the intense loneliness of absolute separation from the Creator, the greater of life, the giver of life. Those who want no part of God will get their way in hell. You didn't hear it on TV. Folks talking about, I ain't afraid of hell. Okay. Telling us not to believe in God. Oh, what about your Jesus now? Okay. You say that now. But when your behind is roasting in hell and you all alone with your thoughts, with your sins, with everything that you wish you could have, would have, should have, don't tell me about what God won't do. Don't tell me there is no God. And I say it one more time. These shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord. And when we're talking about thieves, let's go back up one more time, starting at verse number 6. Since it is righteous things with God to repay with tribulation those who trouble you, and to give you who are troubled rest with us when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with his mercy, with his mighty angel, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who do not know God and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. These shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. When he comes in that day, to be glorified in his saints and to be admired among all those who believe, because our testimony among you was believed. And one more time, the worst thing about hell is not any physical suffering that may be involved, but the intense loneliness of absolute separation from the Creator, the giver of life. Those who want no part of God will get their way in hell. 2 Thessalonians 1:12, the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you. How is Jesus glorified in us? When we strive to please God and eagerly do his will, tapping into the Spirit's power, Jesus is revealed as Lord and infinitely worthy of our service, and he gets the glory. Whew! And I have a word on faith from our first part of this chapter, starting at verse number three. We are bound to thank God always for you, brothers, as it is fitting because of your faith. Because your faith grows exceedingly, and the love of every one of you all abounds toward each other. And in 1 Thessalonians 1:3-4, it tells us, what are some practical steps you can take to increase your level of faith today? And the first is, read the Bible. Romans 10:17 explains, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That is, you must feed your faith a steady diet of God's word. Number 2, exercise your faith. An inspiring bodybuilder doesn't begin by lifting 500 pounds the first day. Rather, he exercises daily, gradually increasing his strength. Regularly exercising faith can bring about similar growth spiritually. Number three, embrace trials. 1 Peter 1, chapter, verses 3 through 9 reveals a shocking truth that adversity addressed in God's power creates greater faith. Just as fire purifies precious metals, hardship strips away all but the pure core of faith. Ooh. Number four, examine the testimonies of others. An individual's testimony is his own account of God's activity in his life. No one can ever deny, refute, or downplay another's testimony. When you hear of God's mighty deeds in someone else's life, you, your own faith in him grows. Number five, pray. You get to know someone by talking to him. That's just what prayer is. Your personal communication with God. And don't just talk. Be sure to spend time listening. God wants to speak to you. Speak to us, Lord. Number six, practice obedience. You will never grow in your faith if you constantly disobey what God tells you to do. Perfect faith is a byproduct of obedience. Put yourself in a position to see God's best for your life, and your faith will soar. Faith does not increase by accident. Growth takes time, dedication, and intentionality. Ask the Lord to help you exercise your faith today. And that is our word this morning. I thank God for all of you. And just remember, who you are. And their word, praying our God. I'm praying for you. They say pray. Number five, grace and prayer. Come on now. You get to know someone by talking to them. That's just what prayer is, your personal communication with God. And don't just talk. Be sure to spend time listening. God wants to speak to you. Praying our God would count you worthy of his calling. Are you worthy today? Are you trusting God today? Are you believing today? Excuse me. I thought it was gone, but it's going to be. Wow, we just made the devil mad. Ha! Praise the Lord. I praise the Lord for my call, because I know that the devil just got mad that we had a great word today. And I thank God for all of you that listen live, that listen later, that may not listen for another month or two. But the Lord calling you. Yeah, I still thank God. And the question is, again, willing to listen. We just talked about that. And a wise warning to someone who will listen is as valuable as gold earrings of fine gold earrings. Proverbs 25, verse 12, NCB. Wonderful counselor, in you is all wisdom. You are the source of every good piece of advice. Wisdom doesn't offer easy out, though it is always the best way. Your word says that we should seek wisdom more than gold or silver. Lord, you see my open heart that wants your wise input on every important matter in life. Help me to listen. When you see my heart growing hardened to choose what is impotent, would you lovingly give me the bigger picture to shake me out of it, to snap me out of it? I know that you give me freedom to choose, and I'm so thankful for that liberty. As my advisor, I give you permission to get real with me when I need it. Sometimes I will need a reality check, and other times an encouragement to boldly walk in faith. Thank you for wisdom that isn't one size fits all. You're so much better than that. Let me always value your input above any of my own inclinations, and let me be a vessel of your insight. Look out for the best interest of the others. Be glorified in the choices I make. Are you willing to listen to a wise man's warning? Whew, what a word. Thanking God again for all of you that joined in this morning via social media. I appreciate you. Those that would like to call in some morning, the number to call is 213-943-3597. Again, 213-943-3597. I look forward to hearing from you. And as we wrap up this morning, may the Lord watch between me and thee while we're absent one from each other. In Jesus' name I pray over you and yours. Have a blessed and glorious day. I love you all. Be blessed. God watch over you. God keep you. And as we pray every day, may the Lord watch between me and thee while we're absent, one from each other, in Jesus' name. Again, I pray over you and yours. Be blessed, family, and know that you are special to God. Walk in your calling. Don't let anybody knock you off your square. I'm praying that our God would count you worthy of whatever your calling may be. Walk in it. Have a blessed day, family. It is a wrap.